August the 5th was the 20th anniversary of the death of one of the most important Czech 20th century poets. Ivan Blatný spent his last years in Clacton-on-Sea, a resort on the east coast of England. He had spent more than half his life in exile and most of that time as a patient in various psychiatric hospitals. It was in these unlikely circumstances that he wrote some of his best poetry, after being virtually forgotten as a writer for several decades. David Vaughan has more in this week's edition of Czech Books.
While rain went rippling out across the land, you shivered at a table, blank and alone. The downpour drummed on all that blackout spanned by umbrellas. The hours edged on. Far from people, far from their strange ways, their tedious good cheer and useless prattle, the wind waltzed scattering hailstones and staves above the city, and all the windows rattled.
An extract from one of Ivan Blatný's early poems from the collection Melancholy Walks, published in 1941, when Blatný was still in his early 20s. This was the collection that made his name, a series of beautifully crafted poems evoking Blatný's native city of Brno. Here is the poet himself reading part of the same poem in Czech in 1978 while a patient at St. Clement's Hospital in Ipswich.
Zatímco krajina se chvěla v mokré kápi, seděl si u stolu, vychladlý, prázdný, sám. Nad černí deštníku je šliják z krápí.
Ivan Blatný was born in 1919 into a well-established and wealthy Brno family. His father was the successful expressionist playwright Lev Blatný. But Ivan was still a child when both his parents died, and for the rest of his childhood was brought up by his grandmother. As a teenager, he came to the attention of the poet Vítězslav Nezval, who introduced him to French surrealism and also to the bohemian life of Brno's cafés. During the German occupation, Blatný was spared being sent as forced labour to Germany by the fact that he had inherited his grandfather's optician's shop in the centre of Brno. His cousin, the composer Pavel Blatný, remembers that seeing the young poet at work was an unlikely and amusing sight.
I remember Ivan in his shop changing from somebody his glass eye. Yes.
You were a little boy and you walked into the shop saw this.
Yes. And this is story for movie.
It must have been completely surreal.
Yes.
It was clear from the start, says Pavel Blatný, that Ivan could only have one possible career.
Ivan is really a genius. One great genius from the whole family. And he was only poet. Nothing else.
During the war, Ivan Blatný came under the influence of the literary critic and theorist Jindřich Chalupecký. He joined Chalupecký's Group 42, a group of writers and artists determined to break down hierarchies of high and low poetry and to introduce elements that were deliberately and strikingly unpoetic. Here is an extract from the poem Tento večer, This Evening, written at this time.
I observed the grains and threads, propped the knife, listened to the trams. I'd be glad to speak, as I say this evening, barking, again, rising upward. This giant book of mine I'm leafing through, the clatter of steps, thick. Still in the same place, gently I blow the ashes. 8:30 struck.
After the war, like so many of his generation, Blatný embraced communism. At the beginning of 1948, he was invited to take part in a Czechoslovak literary delegation, travelling to London. The trip took place in March, just a couple of weeks after the coup that brought the communists to power. Until now, Ivan Blatný had seemed to support the emerging communist order, so when he defected on the first day after the delegation's arrival in London, it came as a complete surprise. He made a declaration on the Czechoslovak service of the BBC. Martin Tharp has studied and translated Blatný's work.
He stated that he was forced to this decision by but he called the cold terror that the communists had brought to his homeland, and he also said that he was leaving the Communist Party because of what he termed its base doctrines. And this was met with a response of more than virulent anger from the party authorities and indeed all of the cultural public in Czechoslovakia.
The pressure on Blatný must have been enormous. Within weeks, as the art critic and collector Madame Ladková, who was also living in exile, remembers, Ivan's mental health began to break down. He was admitted to a psychiatric hospital on the northern edge of London, where she visited him regularly.
Mostly they would put me in a room alone with him. So when I came and we were sit down and I would discuss, suddenly the windows were full of eyes looking, and I'm sure how they look at me, they were masturbating.
Because they weren't used to seeing women in the asylum.
Yes, and I was a young woman, so this was something for them, even. And when I came one day with a book, I took this Baudelaire, Fleur de Mal, I was giving the book, and when I came the next time, they wouldn't let me come in. And they said, the director has to talk to you. So the director came and said, are you realizing what you did? We will not let you come back. My God, you cannot bring these books to the sick people.
And this was because this was a famous edition of Baudelaire's Fleur du Mal with the erotic illustrations.
Illustrations, and I didn't realize. I just gave him the book as poetry, wonderful poetry.
In Czechoslovakia, all Blatný's work was banned, but he was not quite forgotten. In 1958, the Czechoslovak intelligence service came up with the bizarre idea of trying to persuade him to return to the country for propaganda purposes. They sent an agent to visit Blatný, giving the poet the unlikely code name Mlok, meaning newt. The files, put together by Agent Kolařík, not his real name, confirm that the venture was not a success.
To quote from Kolařík's report, in his 9-year stay in the institution, Newt has been completely accustomed to such a form of life, has entirely lost contact with the outside world, and presently has no knowledge of contemporary political or cultural events. In the institute he feels altogether satisfied. He answered primarily in the sense that he missed nothing, that he went to the kitchen to peel potatoes, worked in the garden, cleaned up rubbish, washed dishes, etc. According to the statement by Kolařík, Newt is in fact insane.
A decade later, with the political thaw of the late 1960s, Ivan Blatný's cousin, Jan Šmarda, managed to travel to Britain. He traced Ivan to a psychiatric hospital in the town of Ipswich in Suffolk, and it was clear that whatever Ivan's mental illness might be, he was certainly far from insane.
One of my first questions was, and what are you doing now, Ivan? What are you writing? What sort of poetry, etc.? And I will never forget his answer. His answer was more or less unhappy, with such a strange shade of smile. Writing poetry, it was, but it is not anymore. I don't write anything for a long time already. I use this situation to try to persuade in that for anybody who is born with a talent, if he doesn't use it, it doesn't mean that the talent ceased to exist. The talent is still present. It's only necessary to cultivate it, which means for him to continue writing.
And you did manage to persuade him to write again.
I repeatedly returned to this theme, and I persuaded him.
Ivan began sending letters, including poems, to Jan Šmarda and his wife Helena. By coincidence, there was a retired midwife living in Ipswich who had direct links with Brno. Her name was Frances Meacham, and during the war she had got to know the family of a Czech airman in the RAF. On a visit to Brno, not long after Jan Šmarda had been in Ipswich, she came to hear about Ivan. She arranged with the Šmardas that she would start visiting him. Here she is talking in a radio interview in the early 1990s.
I said to him about the second visit, I understand that you write poetry. I said, oh, yes. So I said, well, what do you do with it? So he said, well, I just write it and throw it away. So I said, well, look, don't do that. I will bring you in paper and pens each week, and you save me what you have, and I will take it away and I will keep it.
Ivan began once again to write prolifically, and Francis Meacham sent examples of his work to the exiled Czech writer Josef Skvoretsky in Toronto, who published a collection of his poetry under the title Old Abodes. At the time, Gordon Morris was the charge nurse responsible for Bixley Ward at St. Clement's Hospital in Ipswich, where Ivan lived from 1977.
Ivan certainly, whilst he slept on the ward and ate on the ward, spent a great deal of time walking around the large grounds that we have or in and out of the town itself. And I think that during that time, it was the time when he did an awful lot of the composing of his poetry. He would always have paper with him and would stop as he walked to make notes and then write things down better when he got back to the ward. It was something that absorbed him all of the time.
Ivan's poetry became increasingly experimental, combining recollections from Brno, literary references drawn from his phenomenal memory, and elements from everyday life in the hospital, and from British popular culture, which he absorbed through television, a central element of life in the asylum. Here he is reading one of his poems in English, recorded when Jan and Helena Schmarda visited him a second time in 1978.
The Count left the castle and went to the township bustle, tired of loneliness. Tired of Deer Park walking, he wants some more noise, more talking, tired of playing chess. And when he has enough of klaxons, of motor cars, of taxis, he's glad and turns round. Again the relaxation above the lower nation, lucky we have a count.
Ivan Blatny's final collection, Bixley Remedial School, is wonderfully anarchic, moving between different languages and registers, but never losing the sense for rhythm and the music of poetry that characterized Blatny's early work. The following poem, written in English, is typical.
Outside and in. A group of factory buildings may be called a plant. God, the linguist, teaches us to breathe. In a hollow of a tree, there is a cart. There lives the woodcock. There is the crown. There is the flamboyant Madame Lupescu.
Ivan Blatny lived just long enough to see the fall of communism in his native country, and he was delighted by the changes. By the time he died in Clacton-on-Sea on August 5, 1990, he was once again lauded in his native country, and above all in his home city of Brno, where his ashes were interred in the Blatny family grave a year later.